can't be touched, nigga, can't you see? G, Nate,
you man, cause me, I'm gonna do my thing. You know I do my thing. I'ma get my drink on and party like it's okay. Trust me, man, it's okay. Bounce with me in slow-mo. When they hear the kid in the house, they're like, oh no. 50 got them open again. They open again. Got them sipping on that juice and gin.
Welcome to the podcast, everybody. I'm Alex at TSB Pod. Ski back at TSB Ski. King at Jeromney. So, bowl game happened yesterday. There are some things we should talk about with Oregon, like regarding, you know, a couple of coaching hires being made official in the last couple of days. But we should start with a bowl just to kind of get it out of the way. I'm curious how you guys were looking at this going into it, because the way I looked at it, it reminded me of the Ohio State game, like going into it, just like me sitting there with no expectations that Oregon's going to be able to do anything in the game and just like taking it in as a football game. Just like, okay, this is the team I, you know, root for, I guess is the word we would use for it. And you know, maybe they'll do something. Maybe it'll be fun. Either way, it's the last time we're going to have to sort of suffer through these coaches and suffer through this quarterback moving forward. So might as well just take it in. You know, hopefully they can do something, make the game interesting, which they did. Like the second half was fun. It was a fun bowl game. I mean, bowl games are generally stupid. And so, you know, sitting in
you want
them
to be high scoring affairs, yeah, and yeah.
That's what I want. That's what I want from a bowl game. I don't care. Like if it's not the Rose Bowl, if it's not a college playoff game, like I don't care if they win. I like trophies as much as the next guy, but it's like, you know, the Alamo Bowl, like it's in terms of this program, the Alamo Bowl's a shit show anyways. Like nobody wants to think of the Alamo Bowl. So, you know, it is what it is.
I mean,
always
teams,
remember the Alamo.
Yeah. Teams don't even care about the Rose Bowl anymore.
Yeah. It is like
Ohio State had like 6 opt-outs on Monday.
Yeah.
I know this bowl season has been fucking insane. Just in terms of the opt-outs for the NFL, which is weird, by the way, because we're like, I was thinking about that this week because it seems like every single Oregon player is announcing something. Like every player on Oregon's roster is coming up with that little, like that, you know, 8x6 picture of like, it's like an edited picture of their face and then a picture of their whole body and then a little written note next to it saying, I'm not actually going to the NFL. I'm going to come back, or I'm not entering the transfer portal. Oh, I am trying to go to the NFL. Oh, I decided to come back for my junior year. It's like, okay. Like not everybody needs a graphic.
If you don't say anything, it just, assume that we yet you're coming back next year. How about
that's
players?
That's the assumption. If you don't say something, you don't need to tell us you're coming back. Like I remember, like Brandon Dorlus got asked in the lead up to the game. He like Crepia asked him if he was going to come back, and he's like, "Oh yeah, I'm coming back." He's like, "Oh okay, that's what we need. We need you to be asked once, and then
Dorlus is kind of borderline on a player that could go to the NFL." Some of these guys, like, it's like
second day pick.
It's like, dude, you got no shot at the NFL yet, guy. Let's pump the brakes here about you breaking this, you know, big decision that you're coming back for another year.
Like Oregon's right tackle, whose name is way too difficult for me to say right now. He announced that he was going to go pro, and I remember thinking, like, he's a good offensive lineman. He's not a professional offensive lineman yet. And then he announced that he was going to come back, and I was just like, oh yeah, okay. You shouldn't have been going in the first place. Like Javis Lewis written all over him. So how'd you guys feel about the game? Like, did you have fun?
No, didn't care going into it. Yeah. Didn't care watching it. Bowl games are useless. Yeah. And I believe the stat is that Oregon had 6 total guys who started in week one still on the roster as of yesterday.
That's crazy.
6 out of 22 starters, they had number 6 guys there.
Real good number.
And one of them is like kind of cheating because it was like DJ James. They counted him, and even though he didn't really start in week one. So really, it was five guys. It just cool. I know Oklahoma had opt-outs too. I get it.
They had more than 60 guys on their active roster.
Yes, I believe and it's all unofficial, but I think the official tally I saw was that Oklahoma played 67 scholarship players yesterday, and Oregon played 48.
And
I mean, what are you going to do?
Their defense consisted of offensive linemen and tight ends.
Yes, they had Jackson Powers Johnson starting at nose tackle.
Yeah.
Offensive lineman, freshman. Just go play Oklahoma and on defense. Let's just do it. Why not?
That's one of the things I sort of felt bad about watching the game is, you know, guys like Sewell and McKinley. Like, especially McKinley. McKinley was playing his ass off, man. He was trying to will the defense to do anything good, and he was playing his ass off. And it's just the guys around him just are not good at defense. They don't play defense, and they shouldn't be on the field playing defense. Or if they're actual defensive players, they're young and they've never played before. They barely know what they're doing. And so, of course, they're going to get their asses handed to them by Oklahoma. Like, of course, they're not going to be able to stop Oklahoma. And it makes players like him, like, you know, by default, essentially, not look that good. Because it makes it look like, you know, they're trying to cover for their teammates. And they're, you know, it looks like they're out of position, or it looks like they're not out here making plays when, you know, in normal circumstances, where if you have Kayvon Thibodeau out there and you have, you know, I don't know, Flo, obviously we've only seen Flo play like a total of three games at Oregon. But if you have guys like that out there, they're going to look better. The defense is going to be better. They're going to have a chance to win. Like Oregon never had a chance to win.
Well, here's a little hypothetical. If this was, you know, first game of the season, let's say, against Oklahoma, do you think the Ducks beat them by a touchdown plus?
Yeah, because I don't
think... I mean, if they're healthy, I mean, they managed to... I mean, who knows? I couldn't follow who Oklahoma was playing on defense, but the whole second half, Ducks were able to move the ball.
No, they moved the ball in the first half, too, really.
Yeah, they just didn't score.
Yeah.
No, those were very prototypical Oregon drives this season. You get inside the 10-yard line, and then...
God, so brutal.
A false start, and then a negative play, and... Brown airmails a guy who's open in the end zone, like very typical Oregon.
And like before we proceed, I think it was of the six guys that started, you know, like week one, they weren't all starters, but it was like Sewell was out at halftime, like Dante Manning was out at halftime, and then someone else on defense, I can't remember who it was. They had no there was no chance.
I think they threw up a graphic. I think it was eight straight possessions. They had seven touchdowns and a field goal.
Yeah, they scored on eight straight possessions.
If that defense, I mean, yeah.
They had two players that rushed for over 10 yards a carry.
Yeah.
Were you mad watching it?
No.
I wasn't either.
In the first half, I was frustrated that they weren't giving Dye the ball more. Like it was the first half made me like I was kind of sitting there the first half thinking, God, I'm ready for these coaches to be not here anymore. Like I am so ready for Moorhead to not be here anymore because Travis Dye is averaging like 12 yards a carry and he is fucking throwing the ball every play. Like, my God, dude, like Oklahoma, they cannot stop you running the football. And here you are with your super inconsistent quarterback who is currently struggling, throwing the ball all the time.
So, in fairness to Moorhead, it was 16-3. AB throws a 60-yard bomb into the end zone, and Troy Franklin
dogged it,
lost it in the lights. I don't know.
Yeah,
it could have been. It should have been 16-10 because 2 minutes later, it was all of a sudden 23-3. The game was over.
Yeah,
but That play was a perfect encapsulation of like Oregon Twitter this year, where people are like, what an awful throw. Anthony Brown, jump into the sea, you loser. And everyone who's not a Duck fan is like,
my guy, go.
It almost hit his toe.
Yeah. That was the perfect depth of a pass. It was maybe like half a step to his left, but he just ran like a go route and straight, and the ball was in the air and made zero adjustments.
Zero adjustments
with the ball in the air.
I think he just lost it in the lights.
That's what it looked like because
fucking bad.
Played in the dome, you know. Yeah. I just literally lost it.
It literally landed right to his side.
Like, he didn't even put out his arms.
Yeah, his arm didn't go up.
It was funny, because I know what you're talking about with, like, the Duck fan on Twitter, because I saw one. He was like, you know, I don't care if he didn't make an effort or whatever. He's wide open. You got to put that ball on the guy. It's like, well, yeah. But also, it was a foot to the inside. You can step a foot to the inside fairly easily.
I think your arms are a foot long.
There's not a defender there. And by the way, like the catch Franklin made in the second half, like in the end zone where he like went to the outside, made an amazing catch and drug his foot in. That was an amazing catch. The throw in the first half was easier. Like,
yes.
Go make a catch. That's enough.
I am with you.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead.
I am with you on kind of the play calling in the first, because Dye, of all the players in that game, was trying the hardest of everyone.
Easily.
He and McKinley. He was running like he was trying to earn, like to run Verdell out of town so he's the only back next year kind of guy. That's how he looked running the football in that bowl game.
Man, that running back room is going to be fucking full next year, man. I don't know. Like,
but full of what?
Well, yeah. So that's the thing. It's like Dye's going to come back. Dye's, you know, what is the fifth Oregon running back in their history to run for 3,000 career yards. They got Verdell, who's going to be coming back. Verdell was killing it when he got hurt. And then you have Seven and Cardwell. And
I got to be honest.
Benson.
I don't get the Seven stuff. I just don't.
Well, he hasn't done it yet.
I know, but
yeah.
I don't get why people. I mean, I get it. He's small, and people are like, oh, it's DeAnthony Thomas. Maybe we can just say DeAnthony Thomas is like a genetic freak.
He's small and twitchy.
And that makes yes, and I get it. He's got live legs, but I just don't see him as anything more than like a gadget guy.
No, get him in the slot at best. He's never going to be a running back. He's going to get, you know, over 5 or 6 carries a game. He's just not. Yeah.
No, that was DeAnthony's whole thing too.
Yeah.
So he did like three carries a game, 90 yeah. yards, 2 touchdowns.
Yes. Until he wanted to be a running back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get him a couple little quick screens or something, or get a ball in the flat. That's about it. That's kind of where he's at.
Make plays in space. Hopefully you latch on, get into the NFL as a kick returner. And that's your whole thing.
Yeah, well.
if you're looking to the future, it's not at running back in the NFL.
No.
How big is Seven?
170?
170.
Tyreek Hill, tiny.
Yeah. And how big's Tyreek? About 180 maybe?
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're going to look at something in the future, get to the receiver position if you have that much speed. And learn how to catch a fucking football, because you could be a terror out there. It's not going to be at the running back position.
And speaking of the wide receivers, like full spectrum last night. I mean, they're freshmen and they did some freshman shit. And they also did some, you know, late in your freshman season shit. And so there were some like really nice plays, but there were also some wide open drops. And bad routes, and you know the pick Brown threw, like bouncing off of Thornton's hands and going to the defender. It's like, well, I mean, I don't like Anthony Brown as much as the next guy, but that one's not his fault. And then second half, all of a sudden the offense woke the hell up, and Brown was dropping dimes, and they were actually catching him. So
they were going vertical. It was weird,
right?
And it was working.
Weird, right? go deep to those five-star wide receivers.
And I know this is going to sound, you know, like sour grapes, you know, I'm mad Mario left, blah, blah, blah. It's entirely possible that because of COVID and that year not counting and super seniors, he wasn't cutthroat enough on processing some of those wide receivers. Like, did we really need Johnny Johnson and Jalen Redd again to get all the snaps? Johnny Johnson's, I'm not saying they're bad players, but they were
excessively used.
Like, did we really see Thornton after like September 17th? No.
He caught that touchdown from Ty Thompson and then.
Yeah, against Stony or Arizona, I think, or whatever it was. Now is about it. And then Troy Franklin, I mean, I don't know. You got a five-star wide receiver? Just let him run backside bullshit and just run fast. Don't ask him to do precision routes. Say, be fast. And we just saw Jalen Redd running like little tiny four-yard routes and Johnny Johnson. I think they're both fine. Johnny Johnson, pretty good. They're not explosive.
No, Johnny Johnson's good. He's a possession receiver, we'll call him, because that, you know.
Yeah.
Keyshawn, when you need a catch for 10 yards, he's the guy you go to. But some of those, like you said, some of those younger kids, those are the guys you could hit the bombs for.
They just looked different with the ball.
Yeah.
Even Johnny Johnson's best game against Utah, you know, 2019 Pac-12 championship, he killed it, right? But when he caught the ball, it still just looked like, oh, broken coverage. Some of those plays last night, it was like broken coverage, sure. But maybe their speed kind of broke the coverage.
Broke it a little bit.
Speaking of that, Pittman not being on the roster anymore made me happy for several reasons, most of which revolves around the kick return game, because he is no longer their kick returner. He never should have been returning kickoffs in the first place. He's the slowest receiver who's ever been on Oregon's roster. They should not be returning kickoffs for your football team. When you have guys like Hudson and Seven McGee and, you know, a laundry list of really athletic, fast guys who can run the ball back, I like seeing, you know, Hudson and Seven returning kickoffs and then Seven returning punts. Like, God.
Well, it doesn't make sense. It's like the NFL. All right. The players are so much, everyone's fast. And those punters, you know, hit the ball a mile in the air and everything. So you want a guy that could just catch a ball. This is college. There's a lot of dumb players that do dumb things out there and blow coverages. Get a guy with some explosivity out there. And he could take one to the house. Like, 3-4 times a year, if you actually have the right guys back there.
What do you think Trick Daddy said?
What?
Like Trick Daddy used to say.
Yes.
Trick a lot of kids.
Take it to the house.
MIA.
What do you think that was? Do you think that's Mario, like blind loyalty to your like veteran by Mario or by being a terrible special teams coach?
I think it's bad special teams coach, and I think it's Mario kind of emphasizing more on protecting, you know, not turning the ball over. He'd rather just have the guy catch it and that's it than risk a guy losing it, but then you're losing out on, you know, actually making explosive plays, which turn games around.
At any point, watching Seven McGee return punts, did you think, boy, I really feel this is risky. I think he's going to bobble it or drop it. I didn't. He looked perfectly comfortable. He's an athlete. Athletes can catch a punt. And hopefully they can return them if you put the athletes back there to do it.
But I think the loyalty
speed, man.
I think the loyalty / bad special teams coach thing is just married. Because Mario, he loves Bobby Williams. That he looks at him as a mentor, and Bobby Williams was bad at Alabama. He wasn't even an on-field. I mean, Saban kicked him off being an on-field coach. And that's fine. You want to bring someone in to be like the calming voice and mentor. who used to be a head coach, blah, blah, blah. And that's my problem with Dan Lanning's staff a little bit, if we're being honest. Fine, but he's a bad on-field coach. And the special teams were always awful in every facet. Bad kickers, okay, it's college. It's kind of a crapshoot. They weren't explosive in the return games. They did not cover kicks well. They were always awful. We've said before that Fiesta Bowl last year against Iowa State, where they just kept pooch kicking it on kickoffs, and Oregon never figured it out. Kept fumbling and muffing it. Mario is too loyal. And I know it sounds like sour grapes, but you can look at from Bobby Williams to some of the receivers to even the quarterback this year, where he was so risk averse and loyal, which I get. Loyalty's not a bad thing. But there were times where it was like, okay, it's just not working. Or even like in the blowouts like we said against Utah. Why are you putting Anthony Brown out there still? You're down by 35. Just put in someone else. See what happens. Are you scared that he puts together two fluky touchdown drives? Like,
It's not like he's saving a red shirt. It's like,
right, and if you're a borderline five-star quarterback, you don't give a fuck about a red shirt anyway.
No.
That was the dumbest logic, and I'm not sure Mario ever voiced that with Ty Thompson, but that was a fan thing. Oh, you don't want to burn his red shirt. If he's good, he's not going to stay for 4 years anyway. Like, what are you talking about?
Shit, it's hard to – they give you so much playing time now to keep your red shirt still too, so it's
– right.
Like I said, it is a big thing with Mario, because there was times when Anthony Brown was hurt, and there was times when he wasn't playing well. And to not throw in another player because of loyalty, that's kind of a ding. That's the short-sighted right there out of a coach.
Well, and like Anthony Brown hopped on an Oregon Twitter space today, and sure, he could be embellishing it a bit. But he said between like an ankle, a thumb, a knee, a rib, blah, blah, blah. He was like on the cusp of not being hurt, but actually being injured for like a month. Okay, good on him for playing, all that. But if he says that, and the coach, it's just all the hindsight stuff is really frustrating.
Yeah. I wonder, because a lot of, you know, coaches – kind of back to the Bobby Williams thing, like a lot of coaches making decisions in terms of their staff comes from pressure, like not outside pressure, like from us, people like us. It comes from inside pressure. It comes from like an AD saying, yeah, you won 10 games, but you got your ass handed to you by Utah twice. You did not win the conference this year. You know, all these things that we are trying to get to as a program, you're not achieving those things. Like that sort of meshes doesn't seem like it ever got to Mario. And so Mario's not going to make those moves unless somebody's telling him he has to, because Bobby Williams is his friend. So you're not going to fire your friend unless you feel you have to. And nobody's telling him he has to. And so,
well, that could have been, we could have seen what would have happened if he would have stuck around, you know, after this year. You know, there, he was kind of taking a lot of heat for multiple things this year. And I'm sure he might have been hearing it some, like you said, from the higher ups, if you want to call them that.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued to say, you know, if he would have made something, a change of some kind after this year. Won't know now because he's pretty much taken all that with him. So,
yep. No, that's, I'm kind of like, especially hearing with the couple of hires that were essentially made official this week. And then watching the bowl game, I'm just kind of like, okay, I'm ready. Like I'm ready for the staff to not be here anymore. Like I'm ready for DeRuiter to be gone. I'm ready for all that. Like, I mean, I know, yeah, he was fine. You know, whatever, but
DeRuiter,
I'm ready.
He had to deal with a lot with that defense on injuries and stuff.
My body is ready for Tosh Lupoi as Oregon's defensive coordinator. It just is. And Matt Powledge or whatever, you know, co-defensive coordinator, who they clearly named co-defensive coordinator with Tosh in mind. So it's like, you know, have fun, coaches who are leaving. Like, it's great. I appreciated your service. It's fantastic. But I'm ready for a change, man.
I wonder if there is any talk. I think a lot of people are, right?
I say,
I wonder if there's any talk among the players, you know, especially the ones that kind of went in the portal and came back, if they're kind of maybe looking forward to this new regime, especially, you know, that wide receiver core, you know, they had to be getting a little frustrated. And
they were frustrated in the game visibly with the guy who was throwing them the football. That was kind of a theme towards the, like, the second half of the season, especially, where it's like, fuck, this guy's never going to be able to throw us the ball, is he? Like, with those easy throws, like, right in front of his body that are coming up short. It's like, God damn, man.
But even outside of Brown, you know, just with a new coach, just a new, maybe going to have a new offense in there, you know?
Yeah.
Ready, you see what they're going to turn, what it's going to turn into. Is it going to go back to kind of being the more up tempo attack, or what? I have no idea what Dillingham does.
Ready for that high potent Florida State attack, boys. Oh. Bringing that to the Northwest. I don't know how Florida State people talk.
There was one good Kenny Dillingham stat I heard from this last year, that it was the Seminoles got into the red zone like 34 times. Which is not a lot.
That's it.
Well, they started a possession in the red zone. Oh, you know, okay. So they scored touchdowns from 50 yards
outside.
Out.
Yeah, yes. Outside.
But it was like 34 or 35 possessions that started on first down inside the red zone. They did score in every single one of them. They got points every single time.
Jesus. Oregon.
That's all I got. That's all I got on Kenny Dillingham.
Oregon's offensive players are so much better than Florida State's. Like, kind of not even in the same, like, ballpark. Dillingham's got to be stoked, man. Going from that program to this one, he didn't have to recruit any of these guys. He just has them when he shows up. He's got to be excited. We'll see, man. We'll find out very early next year.
Well, okay. I'm not going to judge the staff.
I mean,
okay.
Against Eastern
Washington. All right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Georgia's going to truck them. Like, let's just be honest.
Yeah. I'm excited for that.
Georgia loses like their entire team to the NFL.
They do. Yes. They're losing 9 of 11 starters on defense. But come on.
That's what I'm saying. Sitting here right now with the things that are happening with the program right now and the guys who are coming back, and, you know, you hope guys are going to be healthy next year, the ones who are coming back. I'm sitting here looking at the roster and I'm like, okay, if they can stay healthy, which is a huge fucking if, obviously, they could play Georgia.
Stop. No, they can't. They won't.
I said they can play Georgia. I didn't say they can beat Georgia. Okay. I said they can beat the game.
You should look up Bo Nix stats versus Georgia. They ain't great.
Bo Nix. We'll see if he actually starts.
I don't think he's coming here to be a backup. That's all I'm saying.
I know.
Because he got hurt at the end of the year, didn't he?
It was an ankle thing.
Ankle? Yeah. All right, so not like a major surgery or anything?
No.
He was sort of banged up a few times last year.
Bone spurs or something.
Captain Bone Spur?
Bone Spurs. Give him the sleeve. Team captain. All right. So the coaching moves this week that were made of, I mean, so one of them was made official. One of them is essentially official. After next week, basically. So Tosh Lupoi is being reported that he is going to be Oregon's defensive coordinator and defensive line coach, one would assume, but they hired the guy from Nebraska to be their defensive line coach. So one would assume he's going to help with a position. It might be outside linebackers, I've heard too. So, but either way, you know, one of the best recruiters, you know, in the last decade or so in the country. And so bringing him in, and, you know, who knows if he's going to be able to call defense? Who knows? Like, we'll see. One would assume with the head coach being who he is that they would be able to figure something out, and him having a co-defensive coordinator too. But I'm excited for his recruiting, certainly. because he's really, really good at that. And then, you know, a guy who's been in the NFL the last, you know, 3 years. He's spent 5 years. Spent 5 years.
He's like Cleveland and Jacksonville. I mean,
and Atlanta. Yeah, I know.
Oh,
I know
what you're boy.
Saying.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. But he spent 5 years at Alabama before that. And so, you know, he's been around good players. He's coached good players. And, you know,
from good coaches.
Hopefully learned from good coaches. Exactly that. Yeah. I mean, that's what we're hoping with Lanning too, right? With
Lanning too. Yeah, it's the same thing.
It's exactly that. So we will see. And then
Clem. The problem is Dillingham. Dillingham been under. Who's his head coach has been?
Mike Norvell.
Yeah. Gus Malzahn.
Ooh, hey, all right, Gus.
Yeah. Gus Bus.
Gus Bus.
Get on the Gus Bus. Speaking of Auburn.
Go Pitt.
Yeah. Michigan State leading Pitt here at the end.
Again, the two best players in the field opted out.
Yeah.
Go New Year's Six Bowls. Played on New Year's Eve, which is really weird.
I bet Pitt wishes that Slovis could start in this game so he could throw through a full pick for him.
Watching this kid, fuck, Slovis might not actually be playing much next year.
Why would anybody take on Slovis on purpose? It's like, my God.
I mean, he was a Heisman hopeful in September. Don't forget.
Yeah, USC has a lot of those.
Oh, they do, yeah.
every quarterback who's ever played at USC is a Heisman hopeful in September.
Georgia's backup quarterback was also a USC Heisman hopeful at one point.
Yeah, yeah, it's weird.
And now he's playing behind someone named Stetson. Stetson.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. The other coaching move this week that was made official is Adrian Clem's going to coach the offensive line. Mike Tomlin let him out of his contract with the Steelers early and
saw that Pittsburgh and Kansas City game, you kind of understand.
He said it was because he didn't want it to be a distraction. I think he's ready to make a move in offensive line coach.
Well, maybe Keaton will. Maybe Keaton will be playing next year.
Yeah, that wasn't great.
Well, shit. Tomlin might be looking for a job here real soon too.
No, he'll stay there forever.
No way. Yeah, he's a coach until he doesn't.
You think those Yinzers are going to let Tomlin have more years like this?
Maybe one more.
He's very Mario-esque, trotting out. Apparently Roethlisberger is just like crippled right now and trotting his ass out there every week to play.
That team is very much on the doorstep of rebuild. And so now the decision has to be made. Like, are you going to let him do it? Or are you going to bring in somebody else and start from scratch? I would think they would let him do it just because he's a really good coach and his track record is really good. So, I mean, who are you going to get that's better than Mike Tomlin? That's the question you got to ask, right? I don't know that there is anybody better than Mike Tomlin who they could bring in. I saw my buddy sent me a story of like Ben Roethlisberger saying that, you know, game at Heinz Field is going to be his last home game likely, and he's probably done after this year. And yeah, but we're Niners fans, so we're like, all right, Steelers, what do you want for Jimmy? Second round pick. Let's go.
You're all aboard getting Russ next year?
I was like, Jimmy's going to be like destroyed after week 3 with that Steelers offensive line and on that roster.
Before we get too far into the NFL stuff.
Yeah, we got to do our NFL check-in here.
Did you see the running backs coach Oregon hired today?
No. How did I miss that?
I don't know. He's spent more time as a correctional officer than a football coach. So great hire, Dan.
Who is it?
I don't know.
You don't know? I'm going to Google it.
From the California.
He's a cop, man. Like, he's been more of a cop than a coach. I don't care who he is. I don't think he's good.
Was he on the cop? Was he on like the longest yard? Was he on the guard?
If you see a picture of him from, I think, last year at Florida State, you would look at him and be like, yeah, that's a cop.
Jesus. Carlos Lachlan.
Yeah, Coach Locke.
Western Kentucky running backs coach. He previously worked at Florida State. That guy looks like a strength and conditioning coach.
He's got big biceps.
He sure does.
I'm not saying he's bad. I'm not saying that. I just, when I read his bio and I realized he was a corrections officer more than a football coach, I was like, maybe that's a weird hire.
Interesting way to go.
Yeah, not that Mastro is my favorite running back coach anyway, but
does this guy
did Michigan State recruit? Just recover a pooch kick?
Yeah, for it just unnecessary.
That's amazing. The backspin. That was fantastic. Sorry to interrupt.
Hey, Bobby Williams, Michigan State. Shitty special teams. Handshake.
Yep. What were you saying, Ski?
Oh, I was going to say, if this guy's got like a pipeline into some actual like good, you know, maybe some guys that serve a little time, have years of eligibility and are, you know, bigger than 5'7", 150. I don't know.
Yeah, are we going to have a replacement situation where we're bringing in like 28-year-old freshmen?
I mean, Bishop, we have
Sycamore.
I think Oregon has a bunch of 28-year-old super seniors. So.
Yeah. He's wiry.
If Verdell and Dye both come back next year, I mean.
Yeah, like a 36-year-old British dude smoking heaters playing running back for Oregon. Oh, all right. Well, Michigan State beat Pitt, so that's a thing.
That is a thing.
So many canceled bowl games this year.
Unfortunately, and, one of them wasn't the Alamo.
My interest in bowl games somehow has been exactly the same as it usually is.
I don't watch bowl games.
I wasn't going to watch them anyways, so all right.
I used to watch them. It's the most wonderful time, bowl season of the year, you know.
When was that? Was that like when we were in high school?
Late something? 90s to mid-2000s.
Yeah, when we were in high school.
There'll be kickers a-swaying and wide receivers saving a good cheer. I mean, I don't know how the song went, but, you know, it was the most wonderful time of the year, and now it's all opt-outs, and I don't care.
Yeah.
You do get, like I said, you got some entertaining games like that Purdue-Tennessee game earlier.
Yeah, that was a shit show. Yeah.
Three play touchdown drives back to, you know, back to back. That's all you're hoping for. I mean,
yeah.
I think yesterday it was like Clemson and Iowa State, 6-3 at halftime. It's like, God, who the fuck wants to watch that?
Yeah.
You really want to win that fucking Cheez-It Bowl that bad to slop out like a 10-7 win? Like,
so DJU is really bad, right? Can we?
Clemson had a bad year.
He's really bad.
He's not good.
Yeah. No, he's not.
So one of my buddies went to Clemson, is a big Clemson fan. So it was the first time I really watched Clemson this year for about a quarter. And I sent him a text saying, I'm sorry, it sucks to say this, man, but DJ looks a lot like Anthony Brown playing out there. How he moves, how he throws the football, kind of his decision-making. Watch him and then kind of compare him to Anthony Brown. It's very similar.
Physically very similar.
Yes. And then his response was, I hope he hits the transfer portal like week 5. Because I think they have the number one quarterback coming in this next year. So
was it DJ?
Like, yes.
DJ was as well, but... Yeah, sometimes they don't pan out.
Speaking of 5 stars who don't pan out, yeah, he is definitely one of those. Wasn't he like one of the first guys to have a NIL deal too? I remember like preseason he was like on a Dr. Pepper commercial or something like that. I could be wrong.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, that went away quickly as the season started, and he was not good at football.
I mean, we kind of filled it. I mean, they went from what, Deshaun Watson to Lawrence to now you got to watch Anthony Brown 2.0 play out there.
He does. So yesterday I was watching the same game and I was like, well, Anthony Brown's going to play here in a couple of hours and it's not going to be great either.
Right.
And I was workshopping DJU nicknames and, you know,
DJ Brown.
You know, he's Polynesian, right?
We got top three DJ nicknames.
No, so all I came up with was Paul Anthony Brown because he's Polly. If you see it spelled out, it makes more sense.
All right.
Yeah.
So it's a great tweet.
It is. It's not. It doesn't. Yeah. It's a visual medium.
Yeah. It doesn't really translate to podcast.
Paul Anthony because it's P-O-L Anthony Y. Paulie.
Yeah. No, we got it.
So let's hear your nicknames then, Mr. Judgy.
Hey, if we're doing top three lists, we got to have some prep time for that. I can't be coming up with DJ nicknames off the top of my head here.
DJ Ew.
DJ not going to complete the pass.
Yeah, DJ Ew is good. It's better.
It's not. It's not better.
So just across the wire, as we were being depressed about Bobby Williams / happy that he's leaving, Oregon expected to hire Penn State special teams coordinator Joe Lohrig. I have no idea if Penn State's special teams have been good. I don't pay attention to Penn State. I don't know why anybody would.
Well, they must not be super bad, because special teams is kind of just, if no one's talking about it at all, that's not a bad thing.
That's true.
But if they are, if you know about their special teams, either it's, you know, maybe they have the best kicker in the country, or it's an absolute fucking train wreck. So probably good, like, that we don't know anything.
I feel like Big Ten, like, special teams thrive in the Big Ten, you know, because they're so boring, like, in general, that good, sound, fundamental special teams it reigns supreme in the Big Ten. And so, I have no idea if this...
I wouldn't be surprised if 60% of punters in the NFL come out of the Big Ten.
Sure. It makes sense to me.
That sounds like a valid stat.
Makes sense to me, and I'm way too lazy to verify that. So that works for me. Apparently he coached with Lanning at Memphis, and started his coaching career at Western Oregon, which is interesting. So he's got those strong Monmouth ties. So his recruiting ties to the central Oregon is really good, I guess.
Just that big Salem hotbed that he just gets into.
Yeah, Salem hotbed, exactly. What high schools are in the Salem area? I'm trying to think.
McNary.
Okay.
South Salem.
Yeah, okay.
North Salem.
Okay. The directional Salems.
Does Silverton count?
That's outside of it.
I thought Silverton was more like in the, like, towards Eastern Oregon. Is it not?
No, it's off the five.
Okay.
It's east off the five.
Off the five.
I love how we just go the five.
Yeah. I was waiting. Yeah,
that was perfect.
I hate both of you. I just want to end the podcast now. Okay, so Oregon.
McNary.
Yes. Oh, there you go. McNary is legit.
And of course, West Salem. Who could forget West Salem?
Of course, West Salem. Everybody knows West Salem. No East Salem?
There is no East Salem. I think that's Silverton.
Do they not have East high schools? I'm trying to think.
Eastern Michigan.
Yeah, that's not a high school.
Well, it's a school. It's a school.
I don't know if I can think of if I've ever heard, and I covered high school sports for like 11 years. I don't know if I've ever heard of an Eastern high school. I got nothing. Tweet at us at TSB Ski. Send him a DM with your Eastern high schools. He wants to hear about it.
Weird. Yeah, I don't really hear. Yeah.
So I'm trying to think of where to go from here. I mean, we could talk basketball, but basketball is such a shit show right now, just in general. Yeah, there's nothing to really talk about.
Who cares?
Well, and like, speaking of, you know, like, games, you know, bowl games getting canceled and stuff like that, like, college basketball is not happening right now.
There's some games still getting played.
It's really weird. And Oregon seems to be one of those schools that's just affected by it because the other schools are having to, like, shut their programs down.
Well, Oregon doesn't have to release. If they don't have to release anything if the game's canceled by the other school, who knows?
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And they don't anyways, I feel. Like, I feel like that was part of the bowl game for Oregon is, I'm willing to wager they, like, some of those guys who just weren't, so quote unquote, weren't available. Like, I'd be very surprised if some of them weren't COVID, right?
No, one of them, I can't remember who it was. Man, defensive player, young linebacker, Jackson LeDuc.
Yeah.
LeDuc tweeted out yesterday that, like, COVID's kicking his ass. So okay. That's why he wasn't there.
Yeah, but Oregon didn't say that.
No.
So that's sort of my point is Oregon almost as a policy does not say if their athletes have COVID or not.
But I also think they were the football team was so close to being a no contest that they just were like, let's just ignore COVID for 3 days.
Yeah.
It's just.
Yeah.
Let's go to SeaWorld.
How much money do you think the school got for appearing in that bowl?
Well, I think UCLA lost like $4.2 million for not.
Yeah, so it's.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can feel that team. I mean, it's a whole thing.
Boy, UCLA, by the way, fucked themselves. Like, so they canceled like the day before.
The day of.
That's right. That's
like
right.
4 hours before.
Yeah. I'll say they knew like the day before.
Oh, for sure.
And they were getting all of their stuff out of there. And then they actually told NC State the following morning, like the day of the game. But like they spent the entire week leading up to that going to theme parks.
My running theory, and I don't know, I do not know. But my running theory is that if you are on a college football team this year and you're clear and you get to the bowl site, they stop testing. Do not test once you're there. You're there for four or five, it depends where you're at, what team. They just don't test.
Once the game's over, they don't
test. Once you get there, UCLA knew. Once they drove down the 5 to San Diego, they knew. Before they even took the 5.
He said that with a pinky in his mouth, by the way.
You know, when they hit the Pacific Palisades, the 101, the 110, Irvine, I think UCLA knew before they even got to San Diego that they weren't playing.
Was this one of those deals where they didn't really feel like playing in the bowl game, and so they did like the South Park Ookie Mouth thing?
I don't think so, because I think Chip needed it. They're 8-4. If Chip got to 9-4, that's much better.
He gets all of his, like, you got to make sure they're vaccinated first so that you're not putting their lives in danger. But it's like you get all the vaccinated guys together and yeah. Hey, we're all going to Six Flags, guys. Come on, get your trunks. Let's go.
See, I said you can't pass up $4 million for the school there.
Yes, that is true. And NC State was pissed off. NC State they should be.
They landed.
Well, it was the coach.
In Raleigh, donning San Diego Credit Union champion gear.
That's amazing. Well, it's got to go somewhere.
Oh, the coach that came out was saying that it should have been a forfeit, so he gets the win, so he hits like an incentive bonus.
Yeah. Is he wrong?
No, he is 100% correct. And
I think he's right. That's a 1-0 NC State win in the bowl game.
That's probably $100K plus for that extra win.
Jeez.
Fuck yeah, you're going to fight for that extra win.
That's rough. All around, that sucks for everybody. Other than us, because we don't really care. Yeah.
No one wanted to watch that game.
No.
My Bruins.
Okay, yeah, that's fair. That's
Jesus.
Fair.
Jesus.
Hashtag your Bruins. Yeah. All right, let's do our list. Let's do it. I honestly can't think of anything else to talk about unless you guys got something. I tell you what, let's do our list and then we'll do our NFL check-in to end the podcast today. Because we got to check in with our NFL teams because we're coming up on the playoffs. And I feel like all of our teams are pretty good right now. All right. So our list is, so John Madden passed away this week.
Oregon legend. Shout out to Kurt.
Hashtag Oregon legend John Madden passed away this week. So our list is top 3 football video games, not John Madden.
And I liked it better than Madden also.
Yes. Top three football games better than Madden, which is there's a much bigger list than 3. But because Madden hasn't been good since what, 2007?
The Michael Vick one? Can we just like have a comment or a conversation on video games?
Yeah. Let's have a dialogue. Let's go.
People are so, they're like, wow,
wow, why isn't 2K super accurate like what I'm watching on TNT? You want to know why? Because players are fucking really fast. Like, yeah. What do you want 2K to do? What do you want Madden to do? Like, it's fine. You can't really tell me that playing, like, the original Sega and Don Shula football was a better experience. Like,
I think I'm about to tell you that, as a matter of fact.
I'm 100% going to tell you that as well.
You're lying. I'll lie here, too. But it's a lie. Like, Pat Riley's basketball, he's on fire, is not the same as 2K. Like, you can see sweat dripping off an armpit in 2K. I'm sorry. It's amazing.
It's a superior product. I hear you. But
I'm going to say it looks superior.
The fun of it is not. It's not there. It's just not.
I'm going to start here because King was knocking on it. I'm going to start number three, 1990 Sega Genesis Joe Montana Football.
Ooh, that's an interesting choice.
You're a liar.
I 100% still own that game. And I kind of, growing up, either kind of, you're a Super Nintendo guy or you're a Genesis guy.
Never both, oddly enough.
I was a Sega guy. And Sega! Unfortunately, Super Nintendo was superior to Sega.
Super Nintendo was superior to Sega?
I was a Sega guy too,
but God, Super Nintendo had the fucking some bangers in there.
Well, because it had Mario. Like, that's it.
It had...
Motherfucking Genesis had Sonic, though, bitch.
It did have Sonic. And it had Joe Montana Football.
You want to know what Super Nintendo didn't have? That Sega had? All those rings from Sonic.
Rings! So, which Joe Montana? I remember I played... the one I played back then with like a player's name on it was the John Elway one. There was an Elway one too. Elway was in the arcade. I remember playing that at Wonderland a bunch. Because I remember there was this random glitch where like if your kick returner would suddenly just out of nowhere be literally 10 times faster than everybody else on the field. So you could just run around in circles around everybody and run out the clock and then just score a touchdown. I still to this day have no idea how that glitch happened, but there must be something you could do to make it happen. I don't think I actually played Montana, oddly enough, as like a 49ers fan. I don't think I actually played that one.
It was a good game too.
Yeah. All right, my three was on the PlayStation 1, and that was NFL Game Day 98. That one was fantastic. It was the one with Jerome Bettis on the cover. And who was the receiver? Because I remember their marketing was going against Madden specifically because they were trying to compete with Madden, because that was back before Madden owned the NFL license. And so what was his name? Brooks, the wide receiver for the Packers.
Robert Brooks.
Yeah, because that was the one with a commercial where he's like standing around with all the football scientists and they're like formulating all the statistics for the players and seeing how good they are.
That's where PFF was born from.
Remember the commercial though, where he's like, man, that don't show my breakaway speed.
Oh yeah. Wow. Yeah.
That was NFL Game Day 98, man. That game was so much fun. It was all like polygons and stuff, like barely looked real, but I remember it being like way more fun to play than Madden. That was a good run. Good run. The NFL Game Day games, they had like a good 2-3 year run, I feel.
Yeah, they kind of got pushed out there pretty quick when Madden took off.
As soon as EA Sports decided to pony up for the NFL, like exclusive NFL license, that was it.
Well, they had to compete with NCAA football back then too. So it was like,
That's true. By the way, honorable mention, the College Football USA 96, I think it was. Do you remember?
Kansas State helmet on, Florida State helmet on the cover.
My God.
I think I know what you're talking about.
so good.
Yeah.
You could play, and that was
Chris Canty was on the cover, I think. K-State legend, Chris Canty.
So good.
Someone looked that up. Not us, but.
You play as like the U, back when Nebraska was good.
Do you guys remember what's his name? Bill, the 49ers coach.
Bill Walsh.
Bill Walsh football?
Yeah, totally.
Stanford was on the cover. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, what's your three?
My number three is a different franchise, but the same name as Ski's number three. It's NFL Football 94 starring Joe Montana.
Is that when he was with the Chiefs?
It was.
God damn it.
And the snow, because they added snow, and they added like a circle, a more, the directional movements of the receivers were awful.
Yeah. But
were more streamlined than they were in previous.
That's great.
Sega Genesis.
You can't lead with Joe Genesis. Montana because that's been trademarked.
It wasn't Joe Montana's football.
Yeah.
It was NFL football starring Joe Montana.
NFL trademark football.
Was Montana on the cover of that too?
He was.
I would hope so. It'd be so funny. They just have starring Joe Montana, but they're not allowed to put Joe Montana on it. Be great. All right, what's your two?
All right, my number two is Tecmo Super Bowl.
Yes. Yes. You know, I was going to say, like, Tecmo Super Bowl is not on my list, but I feel like Tecmo Super Bowl is up. It's like the first football game we all played was that one.
I guess here's my thing. Yeah. Are we talking Tecmo Super Bowl?
Tecmo
the second
Super Bowl.
One. It's the second one of the franchise. Yeah.
Because that one was better.
The first one was fun. It wasn't great, though.
It was fine. Yeah, it was fine. I mean, you could play as Bo Jackson and run by everybody. It was fine. But Tecmo Super Bowl was better.
I'm going to say we're definitely aging ourselves here with that.
Jumbo Elliott on the cover of that game?
I don't even know.
Was that I didn't know if that was an actual, there's a person like his, it's like a kind of a zoom in shot of
his
face.
It's like a polygon helmet, right?
I don't know if it was a player. I don't know if it was like a real player. That might have just been like a Getty Image football player kind of thing.
I think it was like a video game helmet, like a polygon helmet. I could totally be wrong.
It was a real guy. It was a real guy.
It's a guy in
a Giants garb that you couldn't quite tell is Giants garb.
Yeah.
I'm saying it's Jumbo Elliott because I'm just.
Right, well, hey, I'm
I know it's
that.
Not Jeff Hostetler.
No.
So we're sure it's a Giants player then.
100%.
Okay. Could it be like that Banks guy or whatever?
He's white, so it's not Carl Banks.
Oh, he is? Okay. All right. Well, that helps.
I mean, maybe we're colorblind. I don't know. We don't see.
Yeah, I don't see. Oh, yeah. Okay. I was imagining the Tecmo Bowl cover.
Yeah.
No, because that's a white guy, too. Huh. I'm looking at both of them now. It is definitely a Giants player. I don't know if it's a real person. It's a real human being. I don't know if it's a real like athlete.
Do you guys remember the other Tecmo Super Bowls?
Well, there was the one came out for Super Nintendo after it, which wasn't great either.
The one with the Cowboys player on it.
Yeah, I think that's what was on the cover. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I don't know if there's more than three. I just know the three.
I think they were just
Yeah. But yeah, the second one was the only one that was by far logged the most time on that game of all football games ever on it.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Okay. My two is NFL Blitz. I will still play. And so I think what's that arcade up in Portland? What's that called? I forget. Like the beercade.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Yeah. But I know they have it up there. Like the only time I went there, I was like, hey, I'm going to drink and play arcade games, whatever. I spent the entire time playing NFL Blitz. Like NFL Blitz, like on arcade. And then also it was on 64, right?
So oh, yeah. So my number one is NFL Blitz 99 for 64.
Yeah.
It would, you know, it's, like I said, it doesn't look the best. It played the best. Okay. It was NBA Jam version of football.
64 has two games that you would religiously play, like, with your friends every single time you got together. It was GoldenEye. Okay, three. GoldenEye, Perfect Dark after GoldenEye, and then NFL Blitz. That'd be it. You'd fuck around with NFL Blitz.
Can we get some thoughts on NFL Quarterback Club 98 for N64? No? No love there?
No.
No love for that one, no.
No love.
It's going to be a no for me, Todd.
Who's on the cover?
Quarterback Club?
Yep.
Was it like Phil Sims or something? I don't know.
He was not playing 98.
I don't think it was Phil Sims. I don't know. I do not remember.
I have no idea.
It's Brett Favre.
Brett Favre.
Oh, what's
Brett Favre.
You're leaving off some game. I mean, Mario Kart.
I was never big into Mario Kart.
Ken Griffey Jr. Hockey, baseball.
Griffey. Yeah, there was.
You guys
64 had the fucking bangers.
It did.
64 was a great console.
It was.
It's the one console I ditched and just, you know, threw away that I wish I didn't.
I almost didn't say Mario Golf. Like, Mario Golf would have been one of the biggest omissions in the history of video game talks.
You should just throw proxy mines at your ass.
Yeah. Right?
Just wait. Someone's going to come with a golden gun behind your head for that omission.
All right, so that was your okay. What's your?
That's my one. Two.
Yeah. So Ski's list is done.
I'm done.
My two is it's Blitz. Lame. Mm-hmm.
Blitz. Yeah.
Don't sound sad
too
about
good.
It.
No, I know. It's just too good. You know, sometimes
too good of a game.
Yeah,
it's just too good.
It's just too good of a football game.
It's just too good.
It's just too good.
You can't back an NFL Blitz into a corner. It's just too good. All right, that's enough of that. My number one, and this is a game I played both on Sega Genesis and in the arcade, mostly in the arcade. When I would go to Wonderland, I would play this game out, was Mutant League Football. I fucking loved Mutant League Football because it had like the stupid made up teams with the names that sounded like the NFL teams. So like the 49ers were the 60 Whiners.
Missed a joke there though.
As a pun podcast, like, we got to appreciate that. And then on the field, it was like monsters playing against monsters, and there was actual blood, and you'd be like running down the field, and there'd be these, like, the field first of all would just be like dirt and rocks, and you'd be running down the field and there'd be these huge holes in the ground, and your player as they're running would all of a sudden just drop into the hole and they'd like die and that's it, and the ball's down there. It was just too good, man. And like while you're calling plays or whatever, the coach is like talking shit to you, and it's so good.
Whatever happened to these game series where they had non-people playing it, like the robot baseball game, like
Cyber Wars,
something like that. Yeah,
yeah.
It's like, man, they got to start bringing some of these back.
I know, the baseball one was so good too. Base Wars, was it Base Wars?
Base Wars. No,
I don't think that was it.
All I know is when if there was like a tag play at the base, you would like fight.
You'd have to fight for it.
You had to fight for it. Yeah.
You had like the fight meter. You had to take the guy's life down so you could claim the base.
Kids these days, they'll never know.
I think they had a football version of that too. I just never played it. I don't know. Yeah, but that's my one. Mutant League Football. Classic. And I know that if they like try to bring that back now, they just ruin it. Because they did that with Tecmo Bowl too. Like they did like a reboot Tecmo Bowl or whatever, and it was just wasn't good. What's your one, King?
I already,
my number
I
one.
I know King's number one.
What do you think it is?
was it NCAA 09? So you just do your little cheat thing?
No. Yeah. You remember that cheat
route
thing.
Your little cheat route that's unguardable.
Reggie was Williams.
That 09? Was that 09 or was that?
I don't remember.
That was one of those NCAAs.
Oh, God. Yeah. Reggie Williams for UW and oh, man. Doesn't matter. My number one.
Whoa. Big. Thunderous announcement here is that you used to play with Washington.
Yeah, it was earlier than 09. It was it Pickett? What was that quarterback's name?
Cody Pickett.
Cody Pickett to Reggie Williams.
49ers legend Cody Pickett.
Yes, there was a certain route you couldn't stop. Like, it was impossible. Impossible to stop it.
Impossible.
It was a cheat code. It was just a
glitch. Well, it was Madden 07 with Mike Vick.
It was very funny the first time I would unleash that that lineup on someone who didn't realize it, and before halftime they realize this is fucking bullshit.
This sucks.
I call the same play every time and it works for a touchdown. It wasn't like it was just 27 yards every time. No, it was a touchdown every single time.
Every play. I had a friend bring up the other day his fiance threw a controller, and it was like the first time she had ever done that. I was like, man, somebody did not play Madden on PS2 or because the best part,
or any sports game against someone,
any sports game on PlayStation 2, especially because you could like swing the controller on the cord and just fucking destroy it. Yeah, man. By the way, that's a thing about Madden too. How many controllers has Madden destroyed over the years?
Did you guys ever play Madden on the Wii?
No.
I think it was Madden 07, Sean Alexander on the cover.
No, because 07 was the Vic year, right? So it must have been like 8 or 9.
Maybe. But yeah, whatever the year was, Sean Six. Alexander, because Vic was, that was my thing, is Vic was like the cheat code.
Yeah,
and with, you played with the Wii, you could play with like a controller that you bought, or you could play with like the little sticks. And if you played with the sticks, Michael Vick was unstoppable. And I'm not even sure Michael Vick was like that good at that point. But maybe that was the year before he went to jail. I don't know. Whatever. But my number one is ESPN NFL 2K. It came out for, I think, 1 year, and it was so good. And Chris Berman was there announcing, and here are the Raiders. And if you were the Bills, no one circles the wagons. It was so good. His studio show was so good in that game.
So that's how was the actual gameplay of that game?
It was like, good.
Looks like T.O. was on the cover, it looks like.
Yeah.
With the Eagles.
Niner? No, Eagle T.O.
Eagles T.O. Yeah,
then Madden just killed all, you know, the rights, and it went away real quick. But it was before its time. Studio shows, the whole thing. They had the NFL countdown afterwards. Do 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 from Louisville.
Wow. I'm looking at a GameSpot review of this game. It's like a fucking novel. It's the longest review I've ever. This is a difference. This is a difference between video games then and now, too. These were all in literal magazines. There's like pages.
It was an insane. They put so much thought into this game.
It looks really good.
It was insane. But I think it really only was maybe 2 years. The only year I remember is the T.O. Eagles cover year. But it was just so funny welcoming it, you know, Chris Berman.
There was crib mode.
Crib
mode. Where you,
like,
you
could, like Josh Crib?
No. Like,
I was like,
Josh Cribs? Yeah.
Josh Cribs.
No, you had like a house where you would collect things from like trophies and bobbleheads. And This game got a 9.2.
Yeah, it was so. It was Madden killed it. It was so good. Madden just had to come in and
just had to destroy it before it got up.
It does look good, man.
It was Thanos before he could.
Yeah, he did the snap.
He had the glove. Yeah.
There is a feature, VIP profile system, where you had celebrities who would issue challenges to you. There is, I'm going to see if you can see it. Nope, it's too bad.
Just blinding.
Carmen Electra issues a challenge. You play against a celebrity. Do you want to take your chances and play against Carmen Electra's VIP?
Of course you do. You're Brad Johnson. You're not turning that down.
Yeah. There's like an in-game picture where like the player is on the field and there's like a picture of Carmen Electra in the corner frowning at you because you're playing against her, apparently. So great.
It was before its time. I swear. It was so good.
Do you think Chris Berman out here is like celebrating Madden's death because he cost him so much money by ruining this franchise?
Yeah.
I mean, how much money do you think Chris Berman lost because Madden killed this glorious franchise? Just like stewing, like standing over his grave, like it cost me $100 million.
He goes in and tries to claim a bunch of Madden's possessions as his own. He's like, these are mine. I'm selling these.
The memorabilia. Haters.
There's a reason. Madden was sending all that Madden money. We haven't seen him in like the last 10 years. But Berman, we've been forced to see Berman trying to rehash his old shtick because he needs that fucking money.
And it's all
Boulder! Back.
Let's take Madden down a couple of pegs from the grave. That's not, yeah.
Chris Berman seems like the kind of guy
who would
try and take John Madden down on his deathbed.
He would.
Just say it's his own.
Yeah.
This belongs to me from the Raiders. Nobody circles the wagon like Chris Berman when he's taking John Madden's possessions.
I feel bad that Tom Jackson just kind of got like lost.
I'm literally going to put all this Raiders memorabilia in the wagon and then take it away.
I mean, do you ever see Berman outside the home run derby?
Tom Jackson and Joe Morgan, right? Like, because did Joe Morgan, or no, Joe Morgan was with
ESPN.
What's his face? No, the other guy. The guy who announces the Giants game.
Something Miller, right?
John Miller.
Okay. Adios, pelota!
I'm mixing them up.
Sammy Sosa. John Miller doing the extremely authentic, correct pronunciation
really good.
Of like
really good.
Jose Concepcion.
It's like opposite end of the
he's
spectrum.
He's hitting all those NAs on it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like and he's opposite. He's the opposite of Sterling, right?
Yes.
Where he for some reason says like Italian phrases for Giancarlo Stanton.
Giancarlo. Yeah. Giancarlo, Stantonian shot.
What are you doing?
And the Yankees are down.
It sounds ethnic, right, John? Is that why you're doing it?
Jesus.
Oh, I genuinely love this video game talk. We want to switch to a video game podcast now that the football season's almost over.
Yeah,
I guess that's a no.
A couple weeks left, I guess.
Oh yeah, we got a couple minutes. Let's do our NFL check-in. So, King, you're good.
No, I'm not. Watch ESPN.
Is that because
playing the Bengals, and the Bengals have a better coach, better quarterback, better weapons, and a better defense. It's insane. My team's in a hole. Joe Burrow has intangibles. He's a winner.
Meanwhile, if my team had done what they were supposed to do and beat the Titans last week, nobody would be talking about this with the Chiefs. So
seriously,
my bad. Yeah, my bad.
Well, at least
because Jimmy G had a horrible game and apparently was hurt, which always seems to happen. Every time he has this like horrible game, we find out later in the week that he was hurt for like three quarters of it and was playing through an injury, which he shouldn't have been playing through, and was just throwing stupid interceptions.
Well, at least your team wasn't making a call to Philip Rivers to see if he could come in and play a meaningful game at the end of the year. So.
So COVID was killing your team, right?
Well, Wentz, that's it.
Okay.
I did see that there's a way he might be playing this weekend.
Wentz might
with the new playing. With the new like kind of rules they came up with now for COVID. There's a chance he could play.
Like a 5-day
I mean,
window.
Otherwise they're stuck seeing fucking Ellinger.
Hey, it's the fastest 2 minutes of sports. Keep going.
At least you have the best running back in the NFL. So you got that going for you.
That is true. I'll say
all of our teams are probably playoff teams. I mean the Niners are playing Houston this week. They should beat Houston, even if Trey Lance is starting. But so you know, there's always a chance they could blow it. But the teams are good. That's our NFL check.
I can't concentrate anymore.
From
Jesus Christ.
Listen, I'm doing this underneath our football check-in from here on out.
Okay. Oh, God.